When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Dan, good morning. Appreciate some of your time as always.
Good morning.
Let's start with that locker room speech. Felt like you were on another level there. Shorthanded, dramatic finish. Just what were your emotions like as you guys wrapped up that win against the Packers?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty fired up. We were all pretty fired up. I mean, that was, that's a hard-fought game. We knew it was going to be hard-fought. It was going to come down to the end. We knew where we were at team-wise. Nobody made any excuses. We were in the grinder there. I mean, whatever that was, four or three games in so many days. I mean, we were, and so to be able to pull off those wins, that being the last one of that kind of tour we were on against a division opponent at home under the circumstances just made it that much sweeter. So, I mean, I couldn't be more proud of the guys. I mean, you talk about, fighting through it and pushing and giving everything they've got and the coaches getting them ready. It was a hell of a win.
Everybody's talking about the fourth down tries, and let's just talk and focus on the last one that sealed it. It allowed you to set up for a field goal, no time left on the clock. What type of experiences do you draw from when you're making a decision like that?
I think everything that I've been through, as a coach, a lot of those come in. Things that happened in New Orleans, certainly things that have happened here. And then you think about, how the game has gone. You think about where you're at, where your guys are at, where you feel like you're best suited to finish the game out. If you think you can win the game and you don't have to worry about anything else after that moment, I'm going to be drawn to that more times than not, And look, it's not always going to play out like that. And it doesn't mean I'm always going to go for it in that situation. But, we were under a yard, and I felt like that was the right thing to do in that moment.
Shouldn't more guys go for it on fourth down? Like, why do you think you are the outlier that you are right now with the aggressive decisions?
Oh, I don't know. Look, here's the obvious. What happens when we don't get that? That's the obvious.
Right.
Guys are afraid that if they don't get it, they'll get skewered. Is that maybe part of what
we're moving to the next house.
Yeah.
So it's that's why. But it's, hey, to each his own. And there's plenty of philosophies that have worked in this league. And you can win a lot of games doing it your way. And I just lean more this way. And it doesn't mean we're always going to be this way, but that was right for that game.
How much of it is just, it's simply, obviously it's your call to make, but when players come to you, because I was this way as a player, Russ Grimm, we had a first down or a fourth down that we wanted to go for. We're down in Indianapolis and I'm, you know, hey, we called timeout. I'm John Adam. Hey, we could get this, run behind me. I'm sure Penei Sewell is probably saying the same thing. All of those guys are. I know Jared Goff is. How much does their confidence level play into your ultimate decision to go for it or not?
Yeah, I mean, that, of course that plays into it. You know, if I feel compelled to do it and I look out there and Sewell's giving me puppy eyes, which then no, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But Sewell would never do that, first right. of all. But you know, if I don't feel conviction, you know, somewhere else, then no, I'm not going to do it. But that's not the case here. We've been doing this now for a while. This is, our guys understand what's at stake and the way that we play more times than not. And it's not all the time, but they understand, you know, they've been put in the fire enough to where, you know, they understand these fourth downs and we play pretty good under pressure. You know, we do pretty good in pressure moments and, you know, it's a credit to our players and our coaches. So they're ready for it. And, you know, it's just a matter of, for me, making sure that I do give them the best opportunity to still have success, you know.
I can't picture Penei Sewell with puppy eyes, for the record.
No, it doesn't exist. You get my point, though.
Yeah. No, I did, of course.
He looks at me like, oh, I don't think I can block this guy.
It's never going to happen with him. Let's talk about the Bills, right? This is a huge game. Super Bowl measuring stick. Like, how do you look at this game as you guys prepare for it?
Yeah, I mean, it's the next one. It really is. I mean, that's how you look at it. It's an excellent opponent, you know, who just went out to the Rams and put up a heck of a fight, you know, high-scoring game and came away with a loss. And they've been playing really, really good football. And so, you know, they're going to be motivated to get back on the winning track. And, you know, they play really good defense. They've got weapons on offense. Of course, Josh Allen makes the whole thing go. I mean, he is his biggest weapon that you're going to find at the quarterback position from a run and pass standpoint. So this is, you know, this is going to be one of those. This is a top notch opponent, man. And look, we've been in it though. I mean, that's what Green Bay was. Green Bay's a dang good team.
This might be an impossible question to answer, but, you know, when you're thinking about Josh Allen and the weapon that he is, and you're right, I mean, he's the one that stirs the drink over there. What concerns you more, his arm or his legs?
I mean, both. Look, I think what's hard for him is the obvious, right? I mean, he can push the ball down the field, he can sit in the pocket, find a throw, but then, you know, if you want to play a certain type of coverage and cover down for a minute, there's those times where he's just buying time to where the coverage will clear out so he can take off. Like, he's smart enough to understand all those. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he'll just wait for that lane, and then he takes off. So I think it's, of course, you got to be able to cover down tight coverage because he's an accurate passer, but then, you know, you turn your back on this guy, and he's right through the defense for 20. So we're going to have to be so disciplined in our rush lanes this week. You know, we're going to have to really close it in. We can't have guys sell out to go get a sack. Like, we have to be very disciplined and cage him in as best we can.
Is he the MVP of the league, at least so far? It's kind of the way most people talk about him.
You know what? I haven't seen every game of him versus everybody else. I mean, I can't imagine he's not certainly in that debate. I mean, he's played, this is as good a season as I can remember out of him, and he's had good seasons every year. But I think he's doing an excellent job taking care of the football, playing within the system, and then when they need him, you know, to become Superman, he shows up, and that's why he's in that debate.
You've had so many guys step in, guys that weren't even on the roster, practice or otherwise, to start the season because of the injuries, especially on defense. Who is it that you feel has really stepped in and I don't know, maybe surprised you or played the best that has had to step in for an injured player?
Wow. The shoot. Well, I mean, look, I probably probably O'Connor. I mean,
yeah.
You know what he did the other day. Once we got him up and going, and that's why he's here. This is why we wanted him on our team. And even though he was on the vet squad, we knew we were going to need him at some point. And once we were able to get him going, you know, he's been a valuable, you know, really backup piece for us, role player. He's really helped us out. Well, then we have these injuries, and he essentially starts for us in this game. And, I mean, he was highly productive for us. You know, he run and pass game. And, you know, he played the nose. He played the big end. There's a number of things he did for us that he really showed up, you know. And he just battled in there. But sheer will, he's got a quick first step. He's strong. And he gets on them, you know. He gets on guys. So, I mean, he would probably be the one player, and a lot of those guys came in and helped. But I thought O'Connor played really, really well.
Buzz on social media, you guys are going to wear the black jerseys against the Bills. Can you confirm that?
Who said that?
Social media buzz.
All right, well, social media is always right.
Reliable sources.
Well, I figure we got the coach. We can get his thoughts on it. But, yeah, you guys haven't made the decision then, or it's just not public?
I think the decision was made back in May. There's a chance we'll have black or blue or gray or white.
Thank you for the clarity. Hey, Dan, before we get you out of here, did John text you about what came up on the show last week?
Oh, no, I'm not going to bother him during the season.
No.
Dan, no.
The people think you're hot. Have you noticed that?
Oh, come on.
Don't do this.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Dan. That's all. This is an off-season conversation where maybe I can make you feel comfortable at that time, but no.
Dan, we appreciate you as always.
All right, I appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
You Lions too. Head coach Dan all Campbell, right. Thanks. It's 97.1.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
All right, Gators out today. It's a Carson Anderson program. We got open lines, 248-539-9797. Still getting tons of reaction to the Lions win Thursday over Green Bay. Look, offense played well. Special teams got the job done. There was, the defense made enough plays. It's hard to get mad at the defense giving up 31 points, given who was on the field. At the end of that game, I basically had one defensive regular from the beginning of the year, from week one to the end of the second quarter on of that Green Bay game, one regular in their front seven, and that was Jack Campbell. And because Lee McNeil went down with injury, and you're doing it with guys who, you know, a week prior weren't Detroit Lions. Jamal Adams and Jonah Williams and Miles Adams out there making plays. Pat O'Connor helping collapse the pocket. He got a lot of love for his performance. The point is, what they put together, being enough to win, is a huge deal. Every Sunday, or in this case Thursday, every time you play, you want to come out feeling like your team is good enough to win the Super Bowl. And I don't think there's any doubt in any of our minds, nor should there be, that the Detroit Lions have accumulated enough talent to win the Super Bowl. And they've got coaches that are good enough to win the Super Bowl. And they've got a quarterback that's good enough to win the Super Bowl. What we're not sure of is how many of those guys are going to be able to suit up when it's do-or-die football, when we get to the playoffs. If you're going to tell me that a bunch of players are going to be coming back, then I'll feel a lot better. Especially, you know, a bunch of guys are coming back defensively. I mean, no, there's not indications that, like, Decker's long-term offensively, Pascal, long. There's no indication that that's long-term, DJ Reader. When they got DJ Reader and Lee McNeil out there rolling, it feels like they are putting a great run defense on the field. Could they get Derek Barnes back? That has not officially been ruled out. I've not seen it reported anywhere that Derek Barnes is done for the year. Did I miss it? Kang, I didn't miss it, did I? There's speculation.
No, he's not officially out. It seems kind of unlikely, but no, it's not official.
Yeah. You know, you got was it Jay Glazer over the weekend that said Hutch is ahead of schedule?
Yeah. I mean, that sounds insane to me, but it just shows how hard he's working, though, I think. You know what I mean? Like, remember when C.J. Gardner-Johnson last year tore his pec, and I was like, dude, he's done for the year? Mm-hmm. But he's like, no, I'm not. And even Campbell was surprised that he'd be at the podium and saying, I don't know if this guy's Wolverine or what, but, I mean, he is kind of ahead of schedule. I'm not going to go there yet, but we'll see. And then, what do you know? He was back.
So, here we sit with 13 defensive players on the injured list, which is way more than anybody else. But, you know, there's guys that will, reinforcements are coming. Reader, Onwuzurike, Pascal, up front defensively. I think Mekhi Wingo can come back. Obviously, Alex Anzalone is expected to come back. Barnes may come back. So there's potentially help on the way here. And if you put a group that looks like that, those guys coming back, yeah, we'll feel way better about chances to win the Super Bowl. The thing is, they're still winning against good teams. This is no longer, they're not a product of scheduling here. Since the injuries started to ravage this team early in the year, they still went to Minnesota and beat the Vikings. They went to Green Bay and beat the Packers. They went to Houston and beat the Texans. All those things on the road, those are all playoff teams. Then they get this Packer win. It's just, it's such a credible group. Like, the resume is strong. The talent is here. It's just a matter of going out and getting the job done. And that includes, you say getting the job done, it includes, you know, not continuing to suffer catastrophic injuries. Everybody has to deal with them, okay? It is a game of attrition. But when you suit up your 46-man or 40, whatever it is, 48-man roster on game day, their job's to go out and find a way to get a win, and they keep doing it. No matter how many guys you've never heard of making plays. Ezekiel Turner, third down, dragging down Jordan Love just as Reed is coming open to the back of the end zone. Turner gets him to the ground. If he doesn't, that might be a touchdown. Instead, it was a field goal. Pat O'Connor. Pat who? Pat O'Connor. Pat PMFOC. Collapse in the pocket, right? Who? Al-Quadim Muhammad. Who? And it's funny, you go back to the beginning of the year, and when the Lions set the practice squad, one of the things we said was get to know these names. Because when there's premium on your games, when you are trying to win a Super Bowl, and you start to realize that the injuries are piling up, practice squad guys get activated.
Yeah, but Doug, I didn't know I was going to have to learn other teams' practice squad guys as well.
Well, that's the funny part.
That's how deep we've gone here.
Yep.
You know, and they were working with a glorified practice squad out there with that front seven. It was a skeleton crew out there. But this coaching staff has put players in position to help this, you know, help this team win ball games. And Dan Campbell says it. You know, any place, anytime, and apparently with anybody, mm-hmm. right? And they're going out there and they're winning games. And that's a real sign of a great team. Not a good team, a great team. And yeah, you're going to have to lean on the offense a little bit more. But great teams have, you know, elite sides of the ball, elite players. And don't discount the fact that, you know, knock on wood, the secondary has pretty much been intact for the most part, you know? I think Carlton Davis and Terry Arnold had a game here or two miss.
Yep.
But we got the all-pro safeties back there. I call them all-pros because I don't think there's a better tandem in the league. And then Amik Robertson's been playing great at the nickel slot.
Yeah, they do. That you know, if you look at something that I'm debating how much of a strength it is, it's the secondary. Like the secondary has basically gotten by without having, they've gotten pretty high-end results without having a high-end pass rush. And if this thing all works out, the additions of Carlton Davis, Terrion Arnold, Amik Robertson, I mean, they brought in Ennis Rakestra, who's been dealing with injuries, but the totality of the players that they have put together in that secondary might be the most important thing in the offseason. Because it's pretty incredible when you start thinking about a decent pass defense without a significant pass rush. They typically go hand in hand. And look, the Lions pass defense has given up some yards, but it's not as bad as it was last year. And the most amazing stat of all to me is QB rating against. Best in the NFL. You would think quarterbacks would be having their way, but they're not. Lions defensive QBR, 76.5 at quarterback rating, is the best in the NFL. Opposing quarterbacks, quarterback rating, 76.5 against the Lions defense. And at first, you know, you could, as early in the season, it could be the old statistical anomaly. But essentially, every week, it's like going up against Mason Rudolph. That's a quarterback who has a rating about that. Think about that. 248-539-9797. We'll get to your phone calls and feedback coming up. Mondays mean champ and chump. Who should be singled out for having the best weekend? Who should be called out for having a weekend that stinks? My champ of the weekend was Tim Patrick, 2 touchdowns. What a great addition for the Lions. Kank's champ of the weekend was Juan Soto, because who had a better weekend than him, signing the highest contract in the history of sports. My champ of the weekend is the Falcons. We needed you, man. 3 straight second half possessions, 3 turnovers, 1 via fumble, 1 via interception, 1 turnover on downs. And Minnesota scored all 3 times. They ran away and hid. Kank's champ of the weekend is the Mets for signing Soto to that contract. 248-539-9797. Who do you have as champ and chump of the weekend? We'll get to your phone calls and feedback coming up. Our first thought on the college football playoff bracket. We'll get to that today at 12:16 here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, the NFL, Monday Night Football. FanDuel wants you to win even bigger. Right now, all customers can get a 30% catch-a-pass profit boost. Bengals versus Cowboys, Monday Night Football. That means you can boost your next NFL catch-a-pass bet by 30%. And take home even more winnings during the Bengals-Cowboys game. Bet on over-under, spreads, player props, and so much more. Plus, if you win, you get paid instantly. So don't wait. Download America's number one sportsbook by visiting FanDuel.com/Doug. That's FanDuel.com/Doug to take advantage of a 30% catch-a-pass profit boost. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Maximum wager amount applies. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including token expiration. See terms for both offers at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right. Welcome back. First of all, TJ, welcome. You're getting settled.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're aware, David is in his DJ Khaled matching sweatsuit today. It's
the pants match too? Oh. That's not that bad. You kind of overdescribed it on a ride.
He's in a powder blue matching sweatsuit.
Yeah, I was expecting to see a full blown Gucci suit or something. That's just a sweatshirt.
No,
Gucci down to the socks.
Like David fully patterned out. No. He looks like the Tennessee end zone.
Like those Reebok sweatsuits with the stripes on.
No, he didn't look like Team USA in 1990. So I wanted to ask you is, first of all, I want to start on a good foot. TJ always thinks I break his balls when he walks in.
What do you mean think?
I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something that TJ was ahead of, Rico. Mm-hmm. Nobody else was talking about it. And I don't think anyone's been as right as Mr. Thomas John Lang. Bob Muhammad is a good football player.
Awkward, Dean.
Whatever.
You're close.
That is your guy. And now all I think of when I watch Lions games and I see Pete Muhammad come out there making a play, I go, TJ's boy. He's actually... good.
Impactful. Yeah.
Yeah. Credit to you?
Yeah. Well, not credit to me. I think he made some... I'm trying to remember the first game. Was it Indy, maybe? I think he had a couple nice plays or a bunch of pressures.
But you were on it before anyone.
Yeah, look, I think... And you can throw him in the big pool of every other player that's been brought in the last 3 weeks.
I feel like you're related.
Where are these guys come from?
You got to be related to Pat O'Connor. That just sounds like a dude that's
old
from
Irish
your family.
Man, yeah, he is. He's a grinder. Those Eastern guys, man, you know what they're made of. You know.
Yeah, 5-7. All right.
Okay, we're talking about individually, but okay. No, you're right. I mean, but since even last week, I mean, it was insane. First of all, it feels like that game was forever
ago, a month ago.
There was one point you're looking at the defense and you're like,
I don't know.
There's like six, seven guys that weren't even here
right
3 weeks ago. You know, and they're going out there and still. Performing for the most part admirably. I know they let up, you know, the 31 points, but a couple short fields mixed in that Green Bay game. But
sure. You got guys 14 points, yeah.
Dude, it's insane, man. They just plug and play and, you know, bringing in the right guys and the coaching staff getting them ready and the leaders in that locker room. You know, I think the one thing when you come into that building is the expectations are very clear. Every role that you're supposed to have is very well defined. Like, there's no room for egos, diva, whatever you want to call it. You're here for a reason. This is what's going to be expected out of you. And they get guys to, you know, I don't want to say fall in line, but they get guys to buy into that. And, of course, it's easier when you're 12-1 and you're riding an 11-game win streak.
But, TJ, I like the fact that they can bring in a guy and they'll tell you, you're here for this specific reason. That's all we need you to do is this. You're a third down specialist. You're this. You're going to rush the back. You're just going to stop the run on first and second down. And that's it. We're going to bring you out. We're going to put somebody else in. We're going to keep it going.
Yeah.
I like that. And you're right. They're bought in.
And it's very...
They don't quit on the field.
Yeah, you're 100% right.
Like some people do.
That was wild. Even last night it happened again.
Why are you bringing this up? Because now he's been in a bad mood all day. He's pouting.
I would too. I mean, it's...
Oh, come on. Guy goes to the Super Bowl every year. To hell with his needs. I'm a 16-point underdog to the Ravens. What about my feelings?
You're not getting any sympathy from me either. But no, you're right. I think the more clear you can identify what's exactly expected out of you... and you see your superstars doing it too. I mean, Amon-Ra can go out there, have one catch for 7 yards. He doesn't give a damn. He's out there grinding his ass off, throwing blocks.
He doesn't pull an A.J. Brown.
Right, there's none of that. And I think that the rest of the team, new guys especially, you see that. And that is, it's contagious, right? That type of effort, that type of attitude is contagious. And I think it allows you to, when you do have the new pieces brought in, it allows them to get up to speed a lot faster. Rather than if you're, you know, just an average team and you throw a bunch of pressure at a guy, hey, we need you. You got to be the difference maker. You know what I mean? Like, they don't do it that way, which I think benefits the players. And, of course, we've seen it benefit the team.
Now, that being said, it looks like we're going to get some more defensive players back on the D-line. Sounds like four at least probably are going to be leaning towards playing.
We need more Aquadine.
Dan Campbell last week. I do think when it came down to fourth down, he was looking like...
Sounded like a swim school.
It's Aquadine Muhammad. You just said Aquadine.
All. I think it's A-L.
Listen, that's why I say Pete. It's Pete.
Not Aquadine.
His friends call him Pete. Pete
sounds
Muhammad.
Like a toothpaste.
I'm sorry. He's good.
Aquadine.
He's good. Almondine.
You good? We good now?
A nice minty fresh taste. Aquadine.
Don't worry about it.
Oh man, that was good.
Less going forward on fourth down now that you got some of your defensive players back. Dan Campbell.
No.
Dan Campbell, you know what? Get this. Stop. Just stop drinking that. You got enough caffeine in you.
I didn't have any.
Yeah, something's wrong with something's in you right now.
It's because I'm here. Go ahead.
Better enjoy those before RFK Jr. bans the Red Bulls. Those aren't healthy for you.
You're taking these away?
I don't know.
No. Rico, what were you saying?
We've lost Kevin. Yes. David, we got any ticket tags?
What's your favorite matching sweatsuit? 248. No, please.
I hear what you're saying, though. Can you afford to be?
Are we going to see more? Less. Okay, you know what? Let's kick the field goal. Let's punt the ball. We don't need to go for it because some of my guys are back on defense. Because last game, he said, "Hey, I knew, I didn't know half of these players. I wasn't going to trust the defense out on the field." We're just going to keep going for it and going for it and going for it until we won the game.
I don't think it was – you're not going to trust those guys, but you don't want to throw too much pressure
not trust
on them. You
know what I mean? It's, yeah, I think he had more faith in the offense.
Our offense is the powerhouse right now. Our defense is beat up. Offense, you know, that was very clear going into that game. You guys are going to have to score some points, right? Good question, though. Will they be less aggressive? I don't know because Dan Campbell has kind of told us and he's shown us who he is. In the last couple of weeks, he's already told his guys and – told everybody, we're in playoff mode. You know what I mean? I want my guys to feel like what the situation is when we're facing a big fourth and one, and we have to have it. There's a good chance you get into the playoffs. You're going to have to make some of those plays. So the more reps you can bank during the regular season to where you can revert back and say, okay, yeah, remember that Green Bay game, guys, right? We messed it up a couple times, but we got it right. How did we get it right? Okay, this is what we did. Those reps are valuable to when you're going to have it in a win-or-go-home type game in the playoffs. But this week,
maybe
you're going to need touchdowns. I mean, you look at the opponent you're facing in Buffalo and their offense and what they're capable of. They're number two right behind you when it comes to scoring points. So I can see Dan Campbell going in there and maybe, I don't want to say not trust his defense, but maybe put more pressure on his offense and give them more opportunities to score touchdowns, because you're not going to beat the Bills settling for field goals. You're not going to beat the Bills, you know, settling for a punt at the 50-yard line. Could I go without maybe some of them at your own 30?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Especially depending on the game. I think that was really the one that a lot of us were like, okay, like maybe a little unnecessary. But and Rico, we talked about it last Friday, man. Like, his team knows exactly what they're getting from their coach, right? And there was a lot of, you know, this past weekend listening to, I think Teddy Bruschi was on there.
How the hell with him?
I don't want to play for him because I don't know what he's going to do. BS, you know exactly what Dan Campbell's going to do. You know what I mean? Like, that's why the players love it so much, because they know exactly. They would be confused if all of a sudden you started punting the ball on fourth and one or kicking long field goals. Like, wait, this isn't who we are. This is our identity, man. Like, this is where we bury teams, right?
It seems like the opposite, because anybody who's played any type of football game, you want to always go for it. You think, coach, we can get this.
Yeah, we can get it. Yeah.
Guys, it's fourth and 13. We got it. We got that play, though. And he's saying, okay, you believe in yourself. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And Ben, drop the play. Let's get this done. I would think that any football player would buy into that and say, absolutely.
You do.
Because you know every time you're just looking, it's almost like the thumbs up or thumb. Hey, we're going for it. Yes.
Well, I'll tell you, it builds chemistry, and I'll tell you what it does is, from a player standpoint, it gives you ownership. You know what I mean? Like, there's no going back and saying, man, I wish, gosh, we should have gone for it on that fourth down. Okay, you want to go for it? Go for it, but you're going to own it, right? You know what I mean? As a player, you'd rather have that than going in the meeting room Monday watching the film like, man, like, coach, I don't know what he's doing. You'd rather just be the guy to step up. Hey, if it fails, hey, you know what, coach?
If it fails, we ship
you
off to
Denver. You take ownership, but what does that do? It gives you a little bit more pressure, which a lot of these guys, man, they perform at an even higher rate when they are under those high pressure situations. So I like the fact that he's throwing these guys into some of these situations, because we all know, like I mentioned, playoff football. Guaranteed, you're going to face a fourth down that's going to make or break that game and make or break your season. So the more reps you can bank up now, I think the better off you're going
to
be down the line.
What fans don't get to do, to hell with the national media, because I'm convinced they don't watch this team. Fans don't get to cry if it doesn't work. This is who you are. It's why you're here. 100%. Live by it, die by it. And let me ask you this question. Biggest mismatch in this game to me is your offensive line, now that it's healthy and whole, versus an undersized, and frankly, not a great front for Buffalo. Is this a game where the Lions really pound the football? Especially, Bills are decimated with injuries at their safety level. I wanted your take on it as a former lineman. Yeah. Is this your frothing at the mouth to get after it this week?
I think so. I mean, they've got some good players. Like Houston, or I'm sorry, Ed Oliver is solid. Greg Russo is pretty good coming off the edge.
Yep.
But you're right. I think I look at that front seven, and especially the Bills play like 98% of their defensive personnel in either nickel or dime. They've got little guys on the field. If you're the Lions, you're looking at that like, Jared, have fun handing the ball off today. Right? Like, we'll get some play actions here, again, but we should be pounding
them
this
out. Yeah. Play their game knowing your five is better than their four.
Yeah.
You're getting a 5 or 6 man box. Oh, Ben Johnson is gonna pre-snap candy them to death.
Right. And that's always the quarrel that I think a lot of defensive coordinators are in. When you face the Lions, and we saw it benefit them last week on two of the touchdowns in particular, you know, the Jahmyr Gibbs route out of the backfield, the Lions throw three tight ends out there. Amon-Ra wasn't even on the field. What did Green Bay do? They matched personnel with 6 D linemen and 3 linebackers. You got a one-on-one with your running back against the line. You know what I mean? So that's, I think, it's such a difficult spot on opposing offenses because it's like, great, you want to stack the box and take away, you know, the running game? Watch this. Amon-Ra, one-on-ones. J-Mo, one-on-ones, right?
Man,
you want to
play
light boxes?
Buffalo plays man.
They do. You want to play light boxes? You'll get a heavy dose of David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. The offensive line, certainly it's going to help getting Decker back, which I think is trending in the right direction this week.
Yeah,
right? I know we'll get a final report here in about an hour, but
felt that way.
They're going to have to take a step forward because I think coming out of that Green Bay game, that was the one, I don't want to say bad part, but the one that was not up to the standard was the run game, right? We didn't see Jahmyr Gibbs or David Montgomery really, they weren't really able to cook in that game against Green Bay. They're going to have to find a way this week to do it.
We have not won, Rico. Not two, but three critical TJ Lane questions.
Well, you've missed the last couple Fridays. I knew they were stacking up somewhere.
I missed one, but I got three of them. Here's the key. One of them is Lion related.
Lion.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So it's going to be a Lion issue.
Okay.
One of them is a your career issue.
Ooh.
And the other one is an origin story issue. So we have three of them for TJ today.
Well, I'm excited.
We're going to have fun with it.
Story time. And if you guys
have questions, Lions, Bills, you want to rap with TJ, go for it. 248-539-9797.
We're going to talk some football after the power surge. How many teams can actually win the Super Bowl? And John teed it up perfectly. It's the Lions and it's the Bills. It's his first and his second best teams this week at Ford Field. And you've had the Lions number one for about a month now.
Yes, I have. And they have done nothing to disappoint.
Are they the best team in the NFL, or do they need to win this game for people to feel confident saying that? 248-539-9797.
I don't think they have to win this game. Obviously, you can't be manhandled and blown out, which I don't foresee any situation where that happens. But I don't think this is a you have to have it game to prove that you could beat them in the Super Bowl. Would I prefer it? Sure. I think all would. It would do wonders for the confidence level. But I don't think it's a must win.
Okay, you don't have to win this in the sense that if you lose, you can still win the Super Bowl. You're not eliminated. You can still get the one seed. You could still host every single playoff game up until the Super Bowl at Ford Field, and you would still be the NFC favorite. But I do think it's fair to say if Buffalo wins this game, they have the mantle as the best team. They go into Detroit and beat Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
They should be the number one team.
It would change. That's why I still have them at number two. It's not in preparation for what might happen next week.
It is because
I believe that they are the second best team in the NFL. Now, can the second best team beat the first best team? Sure. I mean, we've seen top four teams lose to bottom four teams. It happens in the NFL. It happens on the road. It happens at home. So, would it change the power surge next week? Sure. But
would it change the people's opinions in the city?
I would be more surprised if the Lions lost to anybody else in the NFL than I would be if it was to the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. The Buffalo's your second best team. And Josh Allen's playing like a man possessed right now. Again, it's not his fault they lost to the Rams. They scored 42 points. He had 6 touchdowns, 3 through the air, 3 on the ground, the first to ever do it in NFL history. The week before, he caught a touchdown, ran in a touchdown, and threw for a touchdown. Also, first to do it in NFL history. Like he's doing this, by the way, and no disrespect to James Cook, the running back, but with an inconsistent run game. They did not run it well against the Rams last week. His number one receiver is probably Amari Cooper, but all of a sudden Mac Hollins ends up getting a touchdown catch. Like, he's not working with the same complement of playmakers he's previously had, and he's playing maybe his best football because he doesn't have those turnover-worthy plays. He's taking better care of the ball. He's maturing as a quarterback, all while still keeping that level of explosive plays. We just talked about Jalen Hurts and how limiting the turnovers has taken away some of his edge. Josh Allen's found a way to do both, limit the mistakes and still have the big plays. So when he comes into town, yeah, you're facing the best of the best.
It's going to be a hell of a game, which is why we've been talking about the ticket prices, the anticipation of this, and the fact that it very well could be a preview of a matchup down in New Orleans at the end of the NFL season for the Super Bowl. This is, and here's where I think the game plan that the Lions had going into the game against Green Bay, very similar to the one that they're going to, that they should have now for different reasons against the Buffalo Bills. You mentioned it. The Bills don't have a consistent run game. But Josh Allen is very good. We talked to Dan and asked him, what concerns you more, the run or the pass, the arm or the legs? And it's really, the answer is how he sees the field, how mentally he approaches the game. That's the big thing about Josh Allen. That's the growth that he's had throughout his career. He's always, in fact, he was probably had a better arm at 23 than he does now. It's not necessarily going to get better with age, but it's going to look better and it's going to be smarter because he sees the game differently. When he knows pre-snap, I got man coverage. All right, if something doesn't show itself right away, I'm just going to buy a little time in the pocket. I'm going to dance around a little bit and then I'm going to take off running because everybody's got their back to me. Like, that is the level of play that he is thinking of. And that's where Aaron Glenn needs to outsmart him a little bit and disguise some things and go from man to zone and change things up even post-snap. And you can run a combination of both. But offensively, how do you keep Josh Allen from scoring? You run the ball.
Yeah, keep it away.
You keep it away. You win the time of possession. You run more offensive plays. 76 versus 45 in the Green Bay game. Like, that's how you beat Josh Allen. You just simply keep him off the field. You possess the ball. You run more plays. You may have to go forward on fourth down every once in a while because you simply don't want Josh Allen to have the ball.
He may be having the best season of his career. Only 5 picks through 13 games.
Oh, it's clearly the best season of his career, and he's doing it with less.
I was just saying, and with less. I think this is the Super Bowl window in Buffalo is going to be long because Josh Allen's going to be there for a while, but this is probably the peak of Josh Allen's career right now. He's 28 years old. To your point, the game has slowed down to a point where he can manipulate defenses, and he's still young enough where he's athletic and can run and lower his shoulder and run over people. The time is now for Buffalo. I mean, that's what makes this matchup so great. Detroit's going to get some reinforcements back on defense. We don't have anything official, but John, it just would stand to reason. Some of these guys are going to be back this week on the defensive line, and it's going to be nice for this team because they're going to need all hands on deck to chase this guy down.
Oh, yeah. And Dan also mentioned it, right? Discipline in your rush lanes. If you don't have Aiden Hutchinson, right, the guy that can just simply win at the snap of the ball, Za'Darius Smith has shown that he can. And they're managing his reps. He's more productive doing less than he was in Cleveland. So I think there's a positive there. But you're not getting home with everybody else as much. Now, if Aleem McNeil is there and DJ Reader is there, those are two guys that can push the pocket in the middle. But it's not about getting home. It's simply about keeping him in the pocket and making sure that you don't allow him to be what he does best. That's extend plays. Whether it's receivers getting open late or just escaping the pocket, because in a foot race, it's not going to be DJ Reader and Aleem McNeil that wins. And I don't even think it's going to be Za'Darius Smith that wins. It's going to have to be Jack Campbell that wins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same thing as last week.
He's played well. Huge game. Two best teams in the NFL. The Lions are the best team in football. I feel good saying that right now. I don't need to see the game this weekend to feel that way. Detroit's favored. They're at home. I expect them to win this game, even against Josh Allen at his best. having a career season, MVP season, I still think the Lions should get this done. Do you need to see them do it? Or are you cool with just saying right now, hey, we got the best team in the NFL. They play at Ford Field. They're the Detroit Lions. 248-539-9797. You're with me.
I'm with you.
You've been saying it for a month.
Yeah. The Lions are by far the best team in the NFL. Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to go 16-1 or that they could lose to any of the teams that are on the schedule. And I include the Bears in that it's not likely that they would go to Chicago, lay an egg, and lose to the Bears. But it's possible because these are all NFL teams, NFL games, NFL situations happen.
Texter says the Lions are currently the best team in the NFL, but yes, they need to win Sunday to maintain that status. Chase in Grosse Pointe. Texter says, did everybody forget the Bills just lost to the Rams last week? Why would we crown them the best team if they beat our injured team? Why would we put them ahead of some other teams in the league? Signed, Tyler. Well, if Buffalo beats Detroit and Kansas City and they have the MVP of the league, guys, take the fact that you're a Lions fan out of it. They would be rightfully crowned the current best team in the sport. That doesn't mean you can't topple them in the Super Bowl, but if they come into Detroit and win this game, they deserve to be the number one team in the NFL at that time.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean,
but this person says no because they just lost to the Rams and our team's injured. No excuses, guys. We haven't made excuses this entire way. They've won 11 in a row. There's no excuses.
I mean, the ultimate goal is winning. I mean, the same thing we talk about with the Tigers, right? The ultimate goal is winning. You have to win to be tabbed as the best team. And if you end up 16-2 and they end up 15-2 and they end up 14-3, right, quick math there. does it mean that the Bills are better at the end of the season? No, because just look at what I have right now. I have a 10-3 team ahead of Kansas City that's 12-1. I have them ahead of an 11-2 Philly. And why is that? It's because I believe that they're a better team. And in a 17-game season that goes for 18 weeks, there's going to be highs and lows. There's going to be moments where you're playing really good, and there's going to be other times where you simply don't play good, or you might be beat up. That's part of the equation.
Yep.
Of where you get ranked on a weekly basis.
Texter says beating the Bills would be huge because he'd be able to rest guys the last week. However, if the Lions don't win, it's not all that bad, big picture. So just so we all on the same page here, Lions beating the Green Bay Packers was a great win for a bunch of reasons. One being, it's the Packers, FTP. Another reason is you did it shorthanded and it really was a culture win. But just from a data standpoint, it was such a big win for their odds to get the one seed. The Lions can lose any of the final four games and get the one seed as long as they win the other three. There's no one game that now becomes problematic. They win the tiebreaker over Philly in all scenarios where they finish 15-2. So that's great. They could lose this game. They could lose to Chicago. Not that I'm predicting it, but they could lose any of these games and still be all right, still have the bye week in the postseason as long as they only lose one game. And if they win this game, again, you're getting to where you're putting so much pressure on Philly, who you mentioned has some issues going on, maybe behind the scenes, and Minnesota, who we think is good, but not this good. If they lose a game along the way and you keep winning, we may get to a point where not only is week 18 a gimme, you may clinch earlier than that.
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen. There's still a month of the season and so much football to be played. And there's also injuries that can happen. I mean, Josh Allen, mobile guy, we've seen him get dinged up before. In fact, last week, there was times in that game where it didn't look like he could use his left hand. Now, I mean, he's as tough as they come at that position. So you're going to see him play. But what happens if Josh Allen gets hurt? What happens if Jared Goff gets hurt? There's still games. Just because you're this late in the season doesn't mean that your best players or your most important players are immune from injury.
It's 97-1.
Jared, as always, thanks for being with us. You just get me today with Gator out. And we start with the extra time off over the weekend. How was the extra time off?
Yeah, man, it was great. It was good to get a little rest. It felt like a real mini bye, and came at a good time for us. We had gone a pretty good stretch there of games in a row, and it was nice to get a few days off and get your body back.
Is it just rest, or are you doing Christmas shopping? Are you watching football? What does Jared Goff do at the time?
Yeah, a lot of rest, but yeah, I did knock out some Christmas shopping and got a little bit of free time on your hands, and it was good to get some stuff off the checklist for sure.
Yeah, so I know Thursday's kind of in the rearview mirror and you guys are on to Buffalo, but revisiting that, Dan Campbell seemed particularly pumped in the post-game locker room. I think a number of people made that observation. Was that game, did you feel like, given all that you guys have had to deal with injuries, really important to him, meant a lot to him, and did it maybe mean the same to you and everybody?
Yeah, I think so. I think, yeah, it was a big game for everyone. I think he's always fired up. But, yeah, it's a division game. It's at home. You know, in a lot of ways, it was set up in every way for us to have a letdown, and we did the exact opposite of that. We came out and played really well, and our defense held strong, and those guys that had just got on the team, you know, followed suit, and it was a cool win for us with the circumstances, and certainly a good one to get against a division team.
You know, the fourth down decisions have got a ton of attention, and I argue that the fourth down decisions do more than just keep the football and move the chains. I think it's a mentality. I think it's part of your culture. Is that true? Is the way he coaches, does it benefit the team beyond just keeping the football and moving the chains?
Yeah, of course. I think it shows a belief in the offense. It shows a belief in us. And it's just been kind of the way we've done things since he's gotten here and been a little bit more aggressive than other teams. And a lot of times it's worked for us. It's been great. Obviously worked for us on that fourth down late in the game. And made the game, you know, finished the game essentially. Didn't give them a chance to do anything with it. And it's funny to hear all the criticism after it works. You know, gosh, you can only imagine how bad it would have been if it didn't work. But it's bizarre. Yeah, it was a weird weekend to hear them talking about it and how critical they were of Dan on a decision that was correct in hindsight. So it's funny. Everyone's got an opinion. For us, it works. And I'm sure we'll keep doing it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, I feel like it's part of your culture. Like, he's very aggressive and it's reprogrammed because we dealt with such a bad culture here for so long. Do other people around the league, like people you know on other teams, does anybody ever talk to you about this?
No, not really.
Okay.
No. And that's a good point you made there. And I saw it, you know, I think someone said that I had convinced him to do it, and I'm like, no, no, I didn't have any convincing, you know, with him. He does that all on his own, and we're fired up when he does it, and it had nothing to do with me. I walked over there and asked him, hey, what's the plan? And he was kind of deliberating it and told us we were going to go for it.
Do you think that in any way Green Bay was caught napping, think that they were just trying to, you guys were just trying to get him to jump into the neutral zone?
Yeah, potentially, yeah. We had just used a timeout, so we couldn't have used a back-to-back timeout. So, but yeah, maybe they thought we were going to take a delay game. And that certainly wasn't a thought for us. Like, oh, maybe they're going to not think we're going to snap this, so we're going to. No, it was, hey, do you want to go for it? And Dan kind of thought about it for a second and then said, yeah, let's do it.
Final thing, when you did get tripped up, what thought went through your mind?
Yeah, it's one of those things where everything starts happening in slow motion. Yeah, no, I it's not like that's the first time that's ever happened to me or any other quarterback. It's not that unusual to happen. I think it just gets a lot of attention because of the play it was on. But, yeah, just finding any way to get it to Montgomery at that point. If I had to flip it to him, I would have done that. But felt like I was close enough to just hand it to him from the ground and was able to make it happen.
All right, moving on to other topics. Something I've always found interesting about the NFL is you guys start in the spring. You're in the trenches together. You have OTAs. You have mini camps. You get to know one another. You do rep and rep and rep. Then the season starts. Suddenly, guys get hurt. And the next thing you know, a Jamal Adams is in your locker room and starting a game 3 days later. What's it like to have players come parachuting in that all you've ever done is play against them, and now they're on your side?
Yeah, it's cool. It's very cool. I've had a lot of battles with Jamal, Quan, you know, a lot of these guys that are coming in. It's fun to see them kind of adopt our culture, and it's always good. Like it's you know, kind of cliche here, but it seems like Brad always brings in the same type of guy. Like, dudes that just love football, and regardless of at what point in their career they are, you know, they just want to be a part of a good team, and they want to play football. They want to be on the field. They want to make plays happen. They don't care to be the feature guy. They don't care to be, you know, the guy getting to make all the plays. They just want to be out there making plays, and that's what these guys that we've brought in have done and have given us a little bit of juice over there defensively. And, yeah, we'll see what comes of it. But Jamal's been great so far, and Quan's been great. Jonah, Miles, all those guys, they've been awesome.
Do you find yourself swapping war stories from games in the past with those guys?
If we have any, yeah. I mean, I can't think of any in particular. I played Jamal in Seattle for quite some years, and nothing really jumps out. But yeah, we had some fun competing against each other.
Yeah. Another guy I find really interesting on your roster, and you guys needed him this week, is Dan Skipper. It feels like he's becoming a bit of a fan favorite for a variety of reasons. The extra O-line stuff, he caught a pass from you, the whole reporting eligible thing, and now he's been counted on to be your left tackle. How do you think Skip did?
Yeah, I thought he really played well this past week. And, you know, that typically happens. It's been, you know, a few times he's had to play this year. And it seems like, you know, just as time goes on, those guys get more comfortable with more snaps. And I thought this past week was one of his better games that I've seen him play. And consistent pass pro, run game. Everything was great. And he was dialed in and even drew us a nice 15-yard penalty. That was fun. So he did a great job stepping in. He always typically does. And it was good.
Yeah. What kind of dude is he?
He's great. What do you mean?
Well, he seems like he's a character or personality, but I'm watching from afar, so I just wondered if there's anything about him that stands out.
I don't know. Maybe how hard he works and how he's kept himself in the league despite getting cut, I don't know, 8-9 times, and you know, has had a great career. And yeah, he's a great guy. He's a guy that you want on your team in your locker room, and is always ready, whether it's guard or tackle for us, he's ready to step in.
Gotcha. Every week we talk about Tim Patrick. How happy were you to see him in the end zone?
Oh, it was great. Yeah, it was awesome. It really was. And it's been a long time coming. And we got him in Dallas, and they called him just short. And then, you know, we hadn't been able to get him in since. And to get him two and both be fourth down conversions, maybe one of them was third down. But to be in pretty critical moments of the game was awesome.
Did you know, like, was it a spur of the moment thing to grab the football and give it to him, or was that something you always looked to do?
Yeah, I knew it was his first one, and I saw him spike it, and I was like, he's gonna want that. And I just went over there and grabbed it for him, and spur of the moment, I wasn't thinking about that before the play.
Gotcha. All right, so Buffalo coming up this week. What stands out about Buffalo as you prepare for this? I mean, this is a marquee game and another big showdown.
Yeah, they're consistent. They always have been. They've been a great team for a long time. They're very well coached. They certainly score a lot of points. So, you know, depending how this game will go, maybe we'll have to match that and see how it goes. But, yeah, their defense is good. Their defense is really good. They're good at all three levels. They got good pass rushers, good linebackers, good DBs. They're tough. They're tough. They're well coached, like I said. And it'll be a good challenge.
All right, so a couple other things I want to get away from the NFL. College football, do you have any thoughts on the playoff? Do you like the format? Do you get a chance to pay attention to it? Or is that something that at this point is off your radar?
Yeah, I think it's fun that some teams are able to get involved that typically aren't. You know, in the past it's been two SEC teams, the winner of the Big Ten, and then the next best team. And now it's, you know, it's kind of anyone's ball game, and it's fun to see some teams get a chance at it. And kind of how it is in the NFL. You know, you get in as a wild card team, you can make a run, you get hot. So it is cool.
And while I have to have you here, I'm on the Michigan Football Network, and they've got a potential to have a true freshman starting quarterback next year, a five-star kid that just committed. You started as a true freshman at Cal. Would you have any advice to anybody that's in that situation, how difficult that is or things that could be challenging?
Yeah, man. You know, I met Bryce last year. He came by the facility, and that kid's impressive, and I'm sure he'll do a great job there if he ends up playing. But yeah, he's just learn as much as you can, and have fun. You're living the dream, and just try to soak in as much information as possible.
All right, two quick questions from the listeners as we wrap it up. One is, what's your favorite Christmas movie? Listeners wanted to know what your favorite Christmas movie is.
Christmas Vacation.
Okay. Right. Clark Griswold fan then?
What's your favorite Christmas movie?
Die Hard. I'm not a movie guy, so I don't see a lot of them, but I go Die Hard, and I think it qualifies.
All right.
Subject to debate. And the other one is, people want to know, was Dan Skipper really puking in the locker room?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I don't know why else he was bent over the trash can. I didn't notice until Dan had called him out in the middle of that speech, but yeah, I'm sure he was. Such exhausted. That was a long game.
Such a funny moment. Hey, we appreciate your time. Good luck. We'll talk again next week.
Awesome. Thanks.
There he is. Jared Goff, the quarterback of your first place Detroit Lions.
All right, so I have positive news to start the 4 o'clock hour. Your Detroit Football Lions have received a completely clean bill of health.
Whoa.
The only guy who is not healthy and will not play, not of the guys that are out for the year, is Frank Nwosu or whatever his name is. Nobody cares. Everybody else is back. McNeil's back. Onzarike's back. Taylor Decker is back. DJ Reader is back. Clean bill of health. That's just massively positive news. It only furthers my confidence. They're absolutely going to win this game. I just don't do what Cookies does. Oh, they're going to win by 78 points. I'm not. That will never be me. Never. So, David, ticket text, but that's great news for Lions fans. When's the last time they had a clean bill of health? It's been a minute.
It's been a long time.
You got 4 games to go. Now, you don't have to win this one, but it wouldn't hurt to do it. Plus, it'd be fun. It's America's Game of the Week. David.
Someone saying, hey, guys, I learned to love Banquet Salisbury Steak in college and still indulge occasionally, but bring on the raccoon. That is Rob in New Baltimore. Ugh. Xavier Legette can catch raccoons, but not footballs. Maybe he should worry about that.
That was so hard to watch because I'm like, that's the season. Like, that is the Lions would have been mafioso made men. Or whatever you got to do to get into Rico's frat. You're made. Made. Founders Day made. Crested blazer made had they won. It was in his hands. Side note, Bryce Young may be okay.
Oh.
I mean, Canales, body language good. He's performing. They're playing well. They're trying. And
so maybe they don't have to draft another quarterback.
That's all I'm saying. I don't know. No one here cares. This isn't Charlotte Radio. I'm sorry. David, go ahead.
Someone says, Algonac, Michigan has a muskrat fest, and they eat them by the ton. That is
Timeout. What is the difference between a muskrat and then Xavier Legette of the Panthers eating raccoons? Is a muskrat the same level of scurvy? What is a muskrat?
It has rat in it.
Asking Kenny. Kenny, what's a muskrat?
You're one hick reference away from me walking out of here, all right? You know then?
Oh, no. Oh.
Well, then.
It's okay when you order your little cute pizza and you bust my balls. You stop it right now, mister.
I was wondering what I was going to do for dinner. Now I think I figured it out.
There you go. Up next, ethnically insensitive logos by Kenny.
Maybe I shouldn't read this one in, Kenny.
Go ahead.
Read it.
Country raccoons taste better than city ones, right, Kenny?
I think you'd vouch for that.
Oh, it's a lot of raccoon and Kenny coming in. I'm going to just move past those.
He's hurting after what the Wings did to all of us last night. He's not in a good mood. And the sad Kenny meme, Kenny shared it with the world. That's how bad the Wings were last night. That's how angry he is. We did start the show talking about that. Odyssey.com rewind. And I went down a bit of a rabbit hole. This Wallman trade where they gave him away and gave away a second round pick, got nothing back. Wallman for the Sharks, 22 minutes of ice time a night, 20 points, 26 games. And meanwhile, you got nobody who can get the puck out of your own zone. And it just, you ask these questions. If any other GM in town made that kind of trade, they would be eviscerated. But Yzerman gets the whistle by the graveyard. Truly remarkable. And you're looking at Petrie and all the unsavory defensemen no one likes here. So you can listen to it. We started the show with a couple segments.
It says, love reading the injury report, so the Lions should have a fresh set of D-linemen. Reader, Levi Pascal having 2 weeks off with McNeil. I'm with Costa. Give me the Lions at -9.5. Jason in Chicago.
Out of your damn mind. Just win the game, boys. That's it. And again, you're rested. Bills had cross-country travel. You're at home. Go win the game. And I think you have the biggest mismatch in the game, which is your offensive line against their light front, both in alignment and on a personnel basis.
Someone is answering your question. They're from Algonac. They says, the muskrat is something you don't want to eat. It is a mix of beaver and raccoon. That is from Don.
Somebody call Xavier Legette. He'd be pumped up.
He probably would.
What are we doing here?
When Xavier, all right, if for people who are joining, Xavier Legette is the wide receiver from Carolina who is made fun of because he makes Darius Slay sound like a New Yorker. Xavier Legette is the most country accent I've ever heard. I'll play this for you in a moment. He's on Amon-Ra St. Brown's podcast. And somehow it came up of Xavier Legette very proudly saying he hunts, kills, skins, and eats raccoons. Like, he likes it. And I'm like, I wanted to throw up. Amon-Ra almost walked off the set of his own podcast. So here, you want to hear the audio? Go, we, listen to this accent.
Wow. You know what, Mike? I got a lot of people from the country. I mean, the deep part of Louisiana.
Right. The bayou, the rules are different. Even that's out of bounds.
I mean, even my cousin Dexter and Benito don't sound that country.
Oh, no. That is a level of country. The only thing I've ever heard like that is Darius Slay.
I was about to say, that's Boomhauser from King of the Hill right there, where you're just like, what? What did he just say? You need an interpreter. What did he just say? He said, go up the street and over to the left. Coon, no. Just say no. David, it's not many things that my father impressed on me, but that was one. Never, ever, ever eat that.
So if you're wondering why it came up, and then we made a Kenny Possum reference, and the whole point was, Xavier Legette hurt us last week. If he catches the ball, he beats the Eagles. Then you find out this guy is all hopped up on raccoon meat, and you're like, I can't even employ this guy. This is ridiculous behavior.
Was he Cousin Eddie from Christmas Vacation?
Wait a minute. I need a side-by-side. Is caller Ed Xavier Legette's dad?
One more time, David.
Man. Oh, man.
I just like how he contracted Thanksgiving.
It's like Wheel of Fortune, except seven letters are missing.
Thanksgiving.
Simmons. You mean Christmas? So guys, yes, we're talking Lions and Bills.
So how do you see? I would have just. How do you prepare? I would have went the whole nine yards if I was. I'm out.
Look, I don't. I've never personally prepared it.
Deep fried?
No.
Stew?
Well, we had an adventure with it for barbecue. Christmas. My grandfather didn't tell us. It looks just like roast. So you just literally, it was sitting like looking like a roast, and no one knew.
So you just cook it like a roast?
Yes.
Wait.
My grandfather's from the country, so yeah. Him and his brother.
Did you eat it?
What country?
I didn't eat it.
What country exactly?
What do you mean?
Oh, brother.
Go the south. Country.
Like down south?
Yes. Mississippi.
Yeah. Oh, no! Now, see, once you say that, I get it. Because
Arkansas, yeah, Louisiana.
That's a different world.
No, it's not America.
Right.
It's the planet Nebular. It's outer space.
You're right.
It's insane. Rural Mississippi, one of the scariest places I've ever been in my life.
Oh, it is.
Arkansas?
When it gets dark.
I haven't been there. I can't speak to it.
You know what? It's the same.
Okay.
It's Spider-Man meme.
So it's just because I've never been to Arkansas. I've been everywhere else.
It's Spider-Man.
Like it's an adventure. I've been everywhere else.
Can we just do the side-by-side one last time? God. Tremendous. All right. Who said it is next?